Merry Christmas. Man, it's good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. And you need to know this from me, from the elders and staff of this church, what a joy and an honor it is for you to spend Christmas Eve. I know there's so much going on, but the fact that you're here is, it's a joy for us. And so we're so glad you're in this place. Now, here's the thing. When I think about Christmas, of course I think about Jesus, but kids, can you talk back with me? I think about gifts. Anybody else? You kids, you can talk back with me. It's okay. Listen, I think about gifts and I remember Christmas because it's in beautiful moments like this. But when I was a kid, there was some great gifts happen. I want to tell you about one of the best gifts that I ever received. And this is it. It was the original Nintendo system. Come on. Who else knows what I'm talking about? You need to know this. Like, I not only got the Nintendo, but I was one of the elite that I got the power pad with it. Yeah, I was the envy. And so if you could have measured the amount of joy that was in my 10-year-old body, you need to know this, it was exploding. Because this is a fact. Not only was I happy, I was also the coolest kid in my school. Because no other kid in my school had it, or at least in my grade, or at least in my classroom. And so I was like, everyone was jealous of me. And right after I got it, I had this slumber party, brought all my friends over, and we spent all night long playing Super Mario, because we only had three games. Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and then the Power Pad, look, World Championship, whatever. But we loved it. And I had so much joy with this. But you know this, over time, you probably know the rest of the story. Over time, I wore it out. And then priorities began to change, right? Dust started settling on it. New entertainment systems. Sega, anyone? No, oh, I got a boo from up front, my bad. Sega came out and life just moved on. And this thing that was one of my prized possessions, so much joy, ended up in a box somewhere and in one of my mom's moves, who knows? I have no clue where it's at. So one of the presents that brought me some of the biggest joy in my life, it was temporary. It was temporary. And this is the experience, like you know this, this isn't about our toys from Christmas or gifts. This is actually an experience that we have in our life. This is life. I think of it this way, fashion changes. Fashion changes. What was really great last season is not this season, and all the Gen Zers will shame you on TikTok if you wear the wrong thing because fashion changes. I'm old enough now to remember when my wife and I bought the very first car that we bought together, and it was a new, but not to us. It had 36,000 miles, and I remember getting that car thinking, this thing is pristine and awesome. Now, a side note, it was a minivan, so I mean, it was kind of cool, but then it also was like, well, we're now driving a loser cruiser in our 20s. But there was still something about, I'm a grown man and bought a car. This is awesome. And I owned that car long enough. I owned it for 15 years, over 200,000 miles, and it was a death trap. Like, there was no joy left in that thing, right? So it just happens. It's not just gifts, but it's just our physical stuff. But it's also like hard life stuff. It's relationships. Some of you parents have had this experience. The first child that we had, I remember sitting in the hospital being overwhelmed with joy, with just tears coming down my face as mom slept and the baby was sleeping in my arms. But that joy was a little rattled when I had to change the first diaper, right? And you parents know this, waking up in the middle of the night, you love that child. There is joy, but there's a lot of not joy in the middle of the night. And some of you parents are older and lived longer enough that it's not about little children anymore, but there's a heartache for you because there's a brokenness with some of your children. Even some of the deepest relationships of our lives that have brought in one season deep joy could also bring deep sorrow. And this is our experience with joy. This is our experience, and this is it. We get a rush of joy from a thing, from a person, from a situation, and then eventually it fades away. It eventually fades away. Well, we've been looking at the Christmas story and looking, starting in the book of 1 John that kind of tells this, summarizes Jesus. And this is what I'm gonna jump off of today, and this is what it says. It says in 1 John 1:4, We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And the idea this morning or this afternoon is that the promise of Christmas is that joy can be complete. Our joy does not have to be temporary. So what we're gonna do is look at a story that many of you could recite. It's a character in the Bible that if you've heard the Christmas story, you've heard about these guys, and it's pretty normal, but I'm just asking you, if you come into this Christmas season and you're like, Brent, I have felt in my soul joy that has faded away, and I want something deeper. Lean in, and let's learn from these brothers. These are the shepherds. We're in Luke chapter 2. If you read Luke chapter 2, beginning the first seven verses, you would have seen that Jesus was born, and then we pick it up in verse 8, and this is what it says. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night. Now, shepherds, we think of shepherds as a really kind of probably astute biblical profession, like David. King David was a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So we have kind of, we've looked at the Bible, we kind of have this, oh man, a shepherd is a good thing. But you need to know this. In these days, the shepherds were not highly esteemed. The shepherds were blue collar, lowly workers. They were alone. In fact, in a family, the youngest child would be the shepherd. They're like, well, hey, youngest child, we have the least respect for you. Get out there and tend to the sheep. And religiously, the fact that they were doing their job means that they were ceremonially unclean and couldn't even go to the temple because of how dirty they were because of their job. Like, they were common people. And the shepherds, they were lowly. But look what happened in verse 9. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. There's two things that are happening. This angel of the Lord, an angel, we see like a halo and white robes because we've seen them in the movies. In the Bible, an angel is literally a translation for a messenger. So a messenger comes from God and he sits there. And not only are they terrified of the messenger, the scripture says that they're also terrified because they see the glory of God all around them. And when this angel, this messenger comes, he has a very specific message for these common shepherds in the middle of a field. Here it is, verse 10. Don't miss this. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. There's this moment where the shepherds are absolutely terrified. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be terrified if you're just working and all of a sudden, not only an angel, but then all the glory of God shines around? And this is interesting. This is a small thing, but notice that the angels didn't say, hey, get it together, buck up. Why are you so afraid? There's this beautiful moment where the angels enter into the fear of the shepherds and say, don't be afraid. I come with great news. And they make a proclamation that there's great news, a great joy for all the people. And then he says, today in the city of David, which is a way that they would have said Bethlehem. If you guys have been around with our Christmas series, Bethlehem was a promise hundreds of years later in this 8th century BC that this Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Like today, this Savior has been born in the city of David. And this is really important. The Savior was born, the Messiah, the Lord. And this is huge. The people of Israel have been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for the Messiah. And here are these shepherds on the late watch in the middle of the night, lowly common people. And that's who the angels show up to tell the Savior of the birth. And then once the message is made, then verse 13, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. The announcement of Christ was such a massive thing that once it was proclaimed, then all the angels, all the host of heaven showed up and began erupting into song in front of these shepherds, to these common people. And this is the point, that joy is revealed to common people. Brothers and sisters, I hope that we can be honest. I know that we may get dressed up for Christmas and Christmas Eve. But once we remove the filters, the Instagram filters of our lives, we are common people. None of us are that impressive. There might be some powerful people in this room, but most of us are not powerful people. We're just common people like the shepherds, waking up, doing our job. And here is the Savior, the Messiah. And who is his message for? Who is his joy for? These common people in the field. And that's you and me. Joy has come to common people. Joy has come to us. But this is a critical moment in the story. An incredibly critical moment. Because the angels have proclaimed, hey, good news, great joy, a Savior's born today. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And the question is what are these common people, once this joy has been revealed to them, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to be like, because if I was in that moment, I'd be like, dude, what just happened? Did y'all see that? Did I like, what happened? What are they going to do with the joy that was just given to them? Because it was a critical moment for them, but brothers and sisters, it's a critical moment for us. What are we going to do when joy is revealed to us? Because unfortunately, I've been a pastor my whole adult life, and I've seen a lot of people been proclaimed to that there is joy, that there is a Savior, and not everyone responds. But if we want this great joy, look what they did. Look what they did. Pick it up in verse 15. Joy requires us to respond. And when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They heard the message. They looked around at each other and they said, let's go. I love that phrase. If you watch college football, maybe they do it in the NFL. Anytime there's a great score, they're always screaming, let's go. My son, when he's in the basement playing Fortnite and he gets scores somehow, what does he scream over his microphone to his buddies? Let's go. And this is exactly what the shepherds, the common people, when they heard of this message of joy, they said, let's go. They had enough faith to hear the message and go find out for themselves. And if you're in this room, maybe that's the response you need today. Maybe you've never heard the story that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He can save you. And if that's you, I want to proclaim to you that he is your only hope and salvation. I'm not an angel. I'm just a preacher on a stage. But maybe you need to hear for the first time in your life that Christ is the Savior. And I would beg you to have the same response of the shepherds. Let's go. To take a step of faith and go see if this is the Jesus. And that can look like a lot of things. It could look like you just saying tonight or this afternoon, I want to follow Jesus. But it could also mean you go, Brent, I'm going to start seeking. I'm going to go see if that Christ child is really the Savior. But your response to joy tonight would be, let's go. But then verse 17, they also did this. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. There's this beautiful moment. Once they have heard it, and they said, let's go, and they actually see Mary, Joseph, exactly as the angels had proclaimed it. Once they know that he is the Messiah, do you know what they did? They responded. They responded. And this is maybe the call for others of you today. In your life, you are a Christ follower. There's been a moment in your life where someone declared the truth to you that he is the Messiah, he is the Savior, that you are, he is the Lord, and you went and you have bowed the knee and you realized that Christ is the Savior. And if that's you, and if you have ever come to know that joy, maybe the response to joy for you tonight is to go and report it. To go and report it. Brothers and sisters, do you know how many people in our culture and in our world are afraid, just like these shepherds were? They're terrified because of their life circumstances. They are exhausted because thing after thing after thing that they wanted to put their hope in for joy in their life has at some point faded them, and it has left them wanting more. And here, the shepherds, once they saw it, once they knew he was the Christ, they report it. And Christ follower, if that's you in this room, maybe your response to this joy in Christ is you need to go report it to people who do not have the good news. He comes with great news for great joy, and your response is to respond by reporting it out. And then verse 20, they do one last thing. They returned. Look at where it says, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. They returned. They heard the message. They went and saw. They said, that's real. They went around and reported it to everyone they possibly could. And then there's this moment where it says, and they return, glorifying and praising God. It seems like a no small thing. They return. Well, what did they return to? Do you know what they returned to? They returned to their ordinary, lowly, blue-collar, working in the middle of the night, ceremonially unclean, the low of society, out in the fields doing hard work. They returned to what they knew. And this is so powerful for us, brothers and sisters, because many of us are coming into this holiday season from places we don't like. Bad circumstances, difficult job. You feel unappreciated. Some of you are into this room, and this is a scary place for you because you don't maybe have a great word to say it, but you'd say, Brent, today I feel spiritually unclean. I know the things I've been doing in my life, and I know what Jesus says, and I don't know what to do with it. They had to return back to some of those places, and here's what I want to do. I want to make you a promise this afternoon, but before I make you a promise, I want to tell you what I cannot promise you. I can't promise you God is going to change your work environment in the next year. I cannot promise that the person who broke your heart will ask for forgiveness. I can't promise that you will still not be lonely by the end of this next year. And I can't promise that all the hard and unfortunate circumstances that are burdensome on your soul are going to change in the next 90 days. But let me tell you what I can promise you. I can promise you that you can return from hearing a message like tonight, and you can return to your common life, and Jesus can bring joy. And here's what I mean. When Jesus came, the scripture is actually one of the worship leaders quoted, that they would call him Emmanuel, which meant God with us. And you need to know this, brothers and sisters, this Christ, this Savior, he's not just a historical fixture that was 2,000 years ago. He is the Messiah. He came. He was born. He lived a perfect life. He died for you and me and took all of our sins. And for those of us who put our faith and trust in him, the scripture says that he will be with us forever and eventually we'll be with him in all eternity. And so as you walk into this place and your life would be marked with items, relationships that are full of joy and then maybe fade, the invitation for you would be to this. Jesus Christ has come. Emmanuel, God is with us and he can walk with you. The point this afternoon is this. Jesus doesn't bring joy for a moment. He makes it complete. He will walk with you. Your circumstances may be difficult. They may be great, but if they're great, probably they're going to fade. But the hope of Christmas is this. Jesus doesn't bring joy for a moment. He makes it complete. So what's your response? Maybe some of you have never heard that message. Or you've heard it a lot, but you've never actually done anything about it. And the call for you tonight would to say, let's go. The declaration is this, that Jesus is the Savior, he is the Messiah, and that you would say for the first time, I'm gonna go see and worship that King. But if you've done that, maybe your response tonight is that you need to go report it to a world that is full of apathy and disgust because everything they've put their hope and trust in has fallen apart. But my hope is that all of us in this room that we will return. We'll go away from this Christmas season of looking towards Christ and remember this, that he can go with us. That even though our circumstances may not be perfect, he can bring joy, and in him it is complete. Would you pray with me? God, we are so thankful for the reality that you are joy and you bring complete joy, God. So much of our lives are things that we put our joy or we find our joy in that change. And the call for us is to say, God, you are the only one that complete joy in my life. And so, God, if the response tonight is some in this room need to say, let's go find the Christ child. Others that know this joy would be reminded, but then also a deep desire to go and report of this joy to the friends that have none. But God, let us all return. Let us all return from this moment and from the Christmas season, remembering that Jesus doesn't bring joy for a moment. He makes it complete. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.